אם לא המקובלים,
if not for the Kabbalists,
שהיו מגלים לנו מה שהם השיגו,
reveal to us what they attained, who reveal to us what they attained in the upper world, we wouldn't know about it, we wouldn't come to recognize it. Only in privilege of their revelation to us, we have knowledge about it. And from the unique Kabbalists who engaged in the revelation of the wisdom to us, we have here to speak of Rabbi Shimon, who wrote the book of Zohar, and the Ari, and Baal HaSulam. Rabbi Shimon, he lived 2,000 years ago. He left for us the book of Zohar, which actually during this whole period was of time was concealed and just revealed lately. Kabbalists, they passed it on 2,000 years. The Ari lived in the 1500s. What he revealed to us is the system of the worlds, actually what was written already beforehand, but he wrote it in details, in scientific manners: lights, vessels, partsufim, degrees, worlds, a lot of material, 20 volumes. In this, we speak of all the actions of this system, and this system manages us in all levels, in every manner, in many different planes, which we don't feel, don't sense, we don't know about. This activates the entire reality in order to bring it to the goal called the end of correction, unity with the Creator. The Creator created a single desire. He broke it into many pieces. Out of this, that we should gather these pieces ourselves. We'll know as a result how this reality operates, and then we'll come to becoming familiar with Him, with His thought of creation, with His reason, His process, and His goal. Actually, what we need is to seemingly only gather these pieces of the Lego. But these parts are not just mechanical parts. Rather, they have a very specific character in their desires, in their influences, in their hates and loves, their unique connections with all the other parts of the creation and the levels of still vegetative, animate, and man. And when we complete this puzzle, we absolutely not only understand the Creator and what He did, rather, in this that we are working on this, we go through many states. One state is that we don't agree with His composition. We don't agree with what He put together for us. Sorry, Rav is adjusting something. Afterwards, despite our feeling, our sensation, and our understanding, our logic, we have to accept His order, His arrangement, above reason, above our intellect, above our understanding, out of disagreement, out of opposition, and begin to study. Why did he do this in any case? Why do I have to flip myself each time? In each moment, in every sensation, in every state, I must go not according to my logic, entirely against everything presented to me. I'm given a task to do something entirely opposite to what I understand. I don't agree with it. I don't want it. And yet, finally, after many years, I begin to understand that if I won't do this, I won't advance. Just like all of humanity advances this way, all the time, always by blows, more and more and more, until they understand that it's impossible to continue this path. That is the way of my personal spiritual development as well. I'm stubborn. I stubbornly want to go forward with my logic and my reason. No, other people don't understand. I understand. These guys with their experience, I don't know what's with them. Until I shatter, I break down. The Creator did this. The Creator did this so we shall learn His intellect, His mind, out of darkness. He intentionally broke the vessels, which were once in wholeness, in perfection. To break them means He brought them to the opposite attribute from what they were initially created in. He made them similar to Him. Yes, initially they existed in harmony, in eternality, in wholeness, perfection, and He broke them. He gave them these opposite attributes, opposite qualities. This is us now. And now we have to put ourselves back together to bring ourselves from this broken, egoistic form, this imperfect, incomplete form, to a state of wholeness. It's very difficult work, because we have to work out of a state in which we see no use from it. Because if we would see a use, some profit from what we are performing, then we would advance egoistically. If we would understand it logically, then we would agree. We would have all the forces in the world necessary, we'd have plenty of energy, we'd have great support from the body and the mind to advance forward on this path. But rather, the advancement here is not according to our feeling, it's not according to our intellect, and thus it takes us many years until we learn out of bitter experience that we're not advancing. And nothing will help us. Rather, only if we will break ourselves. To break the broken. Yes, to desire to put ourselves back together above our ego, above our foolish intellect, above our foolish reason, and put it back together according to the Creator's sensation and the Creator's intellect, which is opposite to our own. The main problem in this is in the connection between us. We're capable of connecting between us, yes? If we can come to some sensation, understanding that, okay, this is worthwhile, it's pleasant, we can profit from this somehow. Let's say the troubles, our troubles can obligate us to come to connection, let's say. or if I see some big reward, some big profit as a result of connection, okay, so why not? Let's connect. But if I don't see that I'm escaping evil and that I will come to good, then how can I walk forward towards connection? What will obligate me here? And here is our free choice. If I will wait until life will pressure me out of lack of choice, that I'll feel this obligation to connect with others, that's called that I'm advancing in the path of suffering. And that is how humanity is currently advancing in. Yes, we see all the troubles in the world today being revealed. They will finally bring people to understand. We live in a global reality. We are in part connected together in an integral connection as one person and one heart. We have no choice because we are influenced from one another. We must connect, otherwise we'll devour each other. Life will simply cease. How can we advance towards the connection before we feel such blows? As we see now, look, from day to day, and it's yet to accelerate, how can we yet still obligate ourselves to understand that all of humanity is one system which must be connected? In this connection, we are truly profiting big time. It's not just some pleasant, comfortable future within this corporal 70 years in this beastly body, maybe for us and for our kids. Rather, we're speaking here about reaching a different dimension. How can we obligate ourselves to that? Kabbalists make the effort to explain this to us, that it's worthwhile, that through connection we attain the godliness, the eternal life, the very unique life here and now in this world. The moment I connect with the other's vessel, he's no longer other, no longer foreign to me. Rather, there in the others is the vessel of my soul. In none of us you will ever find a soul. We are all, as it is written, like beasts, like animals. Man's soul is in others, outside of him. Let's draw this. The Creator created the will to receive. And let's say this is me within my will to receive. Everything other than myself is my soul. Rav writes, my soul. With exclamation mark. And in feeling myself, that sensation of myself is my beast. And so my entire future spiritual life is dependent really in how much I acquire this vessel outside of myself to connect with it. This is called to acquire my soul.
And if not that, then I'll just remain with my beast. And then there's another point here, what is called the point in the heart. That point pushes me forward to connect with what's outside of me. Why did the Creator do that? So we'll reach the quality of bestowal. That actually by connecting with my soul, by doing that I acquire a vessel, the desire to bestow. And then through this entire vessel, I become similar to him. And then we become as one. We learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah. I spoke about the Ari, who was a great Kabbalist, that he wrote dozens of books, and he explains about the shattering of this soul to pieces, and to the extent that, and he explains how they shattered, how they mingled, how there are parts which are more important or less important, which are coarser according to the desire, or small, subtle. That there's always one thing and its oppositeness. The smaller the desire is, it's easier to correct it. But when you correct it, what can you already gain from that if it's small? However, a big desire is difficult to correct, but if you do correct it, then you can profit big time. A great light can be clothed in it. The Creator, he gives us a limitation. If you want to reveal me, if you want to fill your life in a higher spiritual level, then go ahead, you can do that in the desire I've created. And besides the Creator, there's nothing. Besides that, there's nothing. But this desire is divided into two. The one that I feel my beastliness in, this world, and where I feel my soul, in which I feel the upper world. So two things, this or that. And the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom for revelation of the Creator. Who is the Creator? Desire to bestow. Meaning that same desire that there is here, if I'll acquire it as a foreign desire, then I acquire it in its form of bestowal, to give to him, to connect these others. Although later on I discover that it's not others, it's my actual soul. That desire that beforehand I hated the others, I took advantage of them, I looked at them like something that might not even exist. But when I begin to acquire the desire that's external to me, then I suddenly realize that this is the main primary thing that I have. And beforehand, I was just in a lie. And then I discover in that attitude, in that desire towards the others, that's where I begin to reveal the Creator. Meaning the Creator is revealed in this foreign desire that I begin to receive and to connect to myself as my own. That's why there are different rules that we hear about in Wisdom of Kabbalah, different laws. Love thy friend as thyself, from love thy friend as from love of the creatures to love of the Creator. The Creator dwells amongst the people. The Creator is in the nation. Meaning, the Creator is revealed in that same vessel that I looked at, like that I treated it as foreign, that I treated it that I have no need for it, and that I begin by certain means to bring that vessel closer to myself. And I begin to see that it belongs to me. It's very unpleasant work, that it seems in the first place. Very difficult, hard, or even impossible. And the truth is, it's true. There isn't something that we'd hate more than to treat the others properly, to love them. But there are two things here. If we will arrange them, then we will easily attain and acquire this vessel, our soul. One thing is that we arrange an environment, a group. And that environment constantly works on us, and it obliges us to understand that the others is important, that without reaching connection to others, then I lose big time. You should acquire that. There are great things there. I saw an advertisement about the group, and it's being told there that a person profits widely. The Creator is revealed through the group. You acquire the next world. Any problems, troubles, anything, it will all disappear if you connect to them. They bring you such qualities that you just get rid of all the troubles and problems, all these different things. If the environment will begin to publicize this to me, like a good PR office, then I have no choice. I'll be influenced from them, and I'll want things that are unnatural for my nature, and I will want them. Society can compel me, can influence me in an unnatural manner, in an anti-natural manner. That's how I'm built. And it's not in my hands, but it all depends on the environment, on the surroundings. But towards the environment, we have freedom of choice. To be influenced by the environment, to be part of it or not. And not just once, but every day I have to do a little more, a little more, a little deeper to compel myself to be part of this bestowal, to open my ears to hear what they're talking about, to open my eyes to see what they're cooking up there. I have to open myself towards their influence. Meaning, I am brainwashed by them later on, and whatever they say, I really do it out of lack of choice. But my freedom of choice is to hear them, to be under their influence, to be under the influence of the correct environment, and that's daily. Therefore, Baal Sulam writes that he who chooses good environment every day, then he is praised and he reaches success. All the corrections that we study, when we rise to attain the spiritual world, these corrections are divided to two. The first correction is Chafetz Chesed. That after the preparation that we do here, then we reach the first correction called Chafetz Chesed. That's the first one. Chafetz Chesed. Now, by rising above my ego more and more and more and more, so the ego grows, and I each time am above it, until my ego has grown to its full extent, it's been opened up with everything that's in me. All this large vessel, this vast vessel, is opened up as a foreign vessel, and I've built myself towards that vessel when I'm in Chafetz Chesed. That I don't hate them. I don't treat them with my ego. Neutral. And that's called that I've acquired the quality of Bina from Malchut. I've rose to Bina. And then I begin to use that will to receive in order to bestow. I take these desires from light to heavy, from more and more, slice after slice, and then I begin to feel this desire. First the small, then larger and larger, until I completely fulfill it, this foreign desire. This is correction number two. When I use the desires here, I didn't use them, just rise above them. Here I begin to use them. That's called that I begin to love them. I don't know how to write it, but... And with that, I reach the end of correction. Meaning, all of our corrections, all of our work, it is all with this external vessel that this vessel is outside of us in the others, and that's where we discover the spiritual vessel, the upper world here. And we discover the Creator here. Everything. Our desire, where we are currently discovering ourselves as, because this life, then it just nullifies.
The main thing for us within our life is to feel life within this external vessel. The direction is the main thing. And thus, they explain to us in Matan Torah, when we were Israel next to Mount Sinai, there was a condition there. If you want to receive Torah, you must desire to connect as one man in one heart. Not that you're immediately connecting now, it's impossible. One who has revealed this great big ego in him, just like as Egypt, yes, this entire Pharaoh he has revealed in himself, this great big thing. He can't connect with others now. However, if he desires this, he understands that there is no other choice. Only this way he can acquire his upper world, spiritual life, eternal life, the Creator. He exits this world, yes? He rises to a different dimension, to a different world. If he's ready for this, then he will receive the Torah. What is Torah? It is written, I've created the evil inclination. Yes, this relation of hate towards this external vessel, towards everyone. And I've created the Torah, the spice. Meaning, if you wish to connect with them together, if you have this tendency, then I'm arranging such a force for you that will influence you, called surrounding light, or mekif. It will influence you, and then you'll be able to connect. That's the entire Torah. This is everything we have from the Creator. The calculation is a very simple line. Either you want to connect, and then I help you with light that will connect you once again to be as one soul, just like before the sin of Adam HaRishon. And then you connect into one soul, as in the beginning of creation, holy and perfectly. Or that I give you such blows that you will desire it in any case. The choice is in your hands. Thus we have an opportunity before you now in building the environment. Yes, to build this condition, so it'll be very easy for us, very easy for us to reveal the general soul and feel the upper light in it, the upper life. If we desire to perform this, to execute this, and we draw the light by the study, then it becomes quite easy. We spoke about this last time as well. This is a matter, it's a psychological problem only. In the revelation of the Zohar, there is a great salvation here. This book was written by a group of Kabbalists who were connected between them perfectly. What they created between them was this template between them, yes? This entire final form of the corrected soul. And they brought this light, they drew this light, which brought this vessel to its correction. This light was called the light of Zohar. And thus this connection they performed, sorry, this composition, they put together, they called Zohar after that same light. Because this unique light is what causes this connection. That unique light there, it's not a light in a book. If we wish to draw it through the book, yes, the book itself, if we look at the words, at the letters, or yes, we listen, we engage in it, it doesn't matter what language, the book turns to be like a computer keyboard. Each time that I look, that I'm going over with my desire at each symbol, each character, it's like I'm pressing on the keys of this system, just like with the keyboard, the input. And then the system in return begins to operate on me, and it brings me the lights which correct me and connect me exactly like that same system. It brings me closer to it. And this is how we advance. And so it turns out we have both these conditions present before us. One condition is connection between us. Second is that the wisdom of Kabbalah, and mainly the book of Zohar, gives us the same force for connection. Let's see what Zohar has to say about this. So we're going to read. Tell them where it is. We're going to read from Love of Friends. Love of Friends on page 90 in the booklet. It's letter 54. All those friends who do not love each other, look what the Zohar begins with here. It says, yes, all those friends who do not love each other. Look, Zohar has a normal approach to them. It knows us quite well. Depart the world before their time. Yes, before they attain the spiritual world, before they attain the spiritual life, they depart this world. They don't make it to spirituality. All the friends in Rashbi's time had love of soul and love of spirit among them. This is why in his generation the secrets of Torah were revealed. Rabbi Shimon would say, all the friends who do not love each other cause themselves to stray from the right path. Moreover, they put a blemish in the Torah, since there is love, brotherhood, and truth in Torah. There are many people who are mistaken. They don't know what Torah is. They think Torah is some nice stories or fables or guidelines how to behave in this world. That you should do this or do that, some deeds, traditions, some actions to perform, some ways to restrict our lives. They don't understand. The entire Torah is meant only in order to correct the relation between us. As it is written, I've created the evil inclination, yes, the hate between you guys. I've created the Torah, the spice, only for this, for you guys to connect. So whoever thinks in the Torah and what we received there is something beyond this, he is simply mistaken. And this is what Zohar is telling us. He finishes his life up here in this world without attaining a thing from spirituality. Abraham loved Isaac, Isaac loved Abraham, and they were embraced. And they were both gripped, Jacob with love and brotherhood. Yes, he's not talking about humans here, these people. It's talking about these attributes that are called such. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These are the lines right, left, middle. Chesed, Din, Rachamim, mercy, judgment, and giving. These attributes are within each and every one. And these attributes, we connect them together in our advancement in spirituality. And we're giving their spirits in one another. The friends should be like them and not blemish them. For if love is lacking in them, they will blemish their value above. That is Abraham, Avraham, Isaac, Yitzchak, and Jacob, Yaakov, which are Chagat. Next article. Meaning, we have to understand something here. Each one is incorporated from contrasting traits, contrasting opposite qualities, and we have to connect one with the other. And then only in this mutual manner of connection we reach this. And thus what we learn from the Zohar, yes, from the students of Rashbi, they can bring us this force. Yes, let's continue. We are going to continue in the article Friends Make War and Brotherhood. This is letter 65. This is on the bottom of page 90 in the booklet. Page 65. It's written, yes, how good and how pleasant the sitting of brothers together, right? How good and how pleasant these are the friends as they sit together inseparably. This is how it was in Rabbi Shimon's group, yes? They were in unity. At first, they seem like people at war. Initially, meaning when they wished, before they came to connection, they reveal the hate between them. And the more they advance towards the connection between them, they reveal more and more just how much their nature is truly opposite between them. We see this much in the group. You know, like, everything seems to be okay. People are learning together, connecting together, acting together, operating their center in some place maybe. Suddenly, a big mess begins. You know, we all know this. There begins to be this ego, and each one is drawing in his direction and pulling towards his desires. Why is this happening? It's a big correction, actually. They have to feel just how much they hate one another. They need something upon which to connect. It's a mountain of hate. And thus, people who understand that this is the Creator playing with us, that He's the one who's tripping us. Yes, He's awakening this hate between us, and we shall desire from Him this light that reforms. That we are together despite that between us we hate one another. And so we say, let's connect in prayer to correct us. He who makes peace above, He will make peace upon us. If we turn to Him, yes, He would do everything for us. But we must step on our ego and simply close our eyes and request this completion from above, this wholeness from above. Yes, those people who turn to Him and hate towards one another, and they have a request for Him to connect them to get back together. This request opens up the skies, opens up the heavens. You really should remember this, because this is the reason why in every group there are problems awakening. They are not problems in of their own. This is a call from the Creator. Turn to me, request force from me. Only I can connect between you. Upon this lowly beastliness and these petty calculations you have between you. Yes, one who sits in the heavens, Shalaf. He wants us to come closer, to become familiar with Him and His degree, His status, to understand what this big force above nature is, this eternality, this wholeness. But we are in this huge mess, in this swamp of our little desires, and we don't want to turn to Him. And in this, we end the whole story of our spiritual advancement in our life. 99% of people fall into this trap. And absolutely, only above reason can we go. Despite, you know, every one of the friends thinks he's so right and he understands so much more than the others, it's not worth anything. If he wants to advance spirituality, he must place the connection with others in greater importance. And all the rest should not be taken into account or of any importance, and simply laugh at it. This is the Creator's game. He's really pulling our legs, you know. I mean, he's causing these struggles between us intentionally. He's upsetting us, you know. He's really causing. He really awakens us to conflict against one another. We really have to become familiar with this game. He intentionally does this hate because it is written, I've created the evil inclination. He doesn't conceal this from us. You know, everything that's evil in you, we're told, or in others, it's all me. So, such that you shall desire the correction and not continue with this evil like some silly child who, you know, you're like, you tempt him and then he gets all upset and he lights up and he goes even crazier because he's being tempted this way. Friends really have to stand up here and say, we are not going to go along with this game. We are going to oppose this. This is called, my sons have won me over. This, that the Creator wishes us to win Him over, that we shall not agree with this. Rather, advance realistically to demand the correction from Him. You created the evil inclination, yes? You will bring us the correction. There is no happiness, no greater satiation than turning to Him. But if we turn to Him, this is called, my sons have won me over. Yes? Just how much He causes this shattering between us, this hate and these conflicts, these struggles. Look what's happening in the world now. All the different nations, there's like this game going on. The G20 is arguing, the stock markets are falling, suddenly there's a hurricane here, a volcano here, suddenly this problem arises there. Look at the games waking up everywhere. It's just... And... There is no intellect in anyone's authority to understand and any ability that this is just a game from above, all to request connection. We have 40 more minutes to the lesson, yes. What do we have left scheduled? Oh, we didn't finish the text? Okay. So let's continue reading. 65. How good and how pleasant these are the friends as they sit together inseparably. At first, they seem like people at war, wishing to kill each other. Look at this. They want to kill one another, you know? I'm told about like groups, this guy wants that, and I want that. To me, sounds like a playground. Look at Rabbi Shimon's students. They want to kill one another, give one of them a knife, you know? It's a horrible hatred revealed here.
Then they revert back to a state of brotherly love. The Creator, what does He say about them? How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. The word together indicates the presence of divinity with them, the revelation of the Creator. The Creator is with them. Moreover, the Creator listened to their words, and He is pleased and content with them. This is the meaning of the words, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him, whereby each and every one then was written in the revelation, in the book." The book means revelation. In the revelation of the spiritual world to eternity. Maybe more, or maybe we move to questions?
More.
Okay. All right. I've said. Page 111. The prayer of many is received unconditionally. It is item 514 in page 111. So the article's name is "A Prayer of Many is Received Unconditionally." All the prayers in the world, prayers of many, are prayers. But solitary prayer does not enter before the Holy King, but only with great force. This is so because before the prayer enters to be crowned in its place, the Creator watches it and observes it, and observes the sins and the merits of that person, which He does not do with a prayer of many, where several of the prayers are not from the righteous, but they all enter before the Creator, and He does not notice their iniquities. prayer of many is not that many people are asking for it to be good. The prayer of many is when I'm asking for the many, for others. Therefore, if everyone is asking for the others, then he who prays for his friend regain first. What is the point here? What is that kind of a pre-sold game? What does that mean to pray for his friend? Being rewarded first. So pray for my friend. My thing is to be rewarded first. I won't help. It would not be considered a prayer. It's again a matter and its opposite. If I truly put the friend's desire higher, greater than my desire, this is considered that I'm praying for his desire, that it is more important for me. Then I would be rewarded first, because all the lights that I want to satiate him with have gone through me. Therefore, by me starting to relate to everyone as my kli and wanting to fulfill them, then through me all the light of Ein Sof goes to others. This is what is called the prayers of the many, the prayer of the many, whereby if a person thinks that he studied by himself, he thinks about himself, there has to be a very big exertion until nevertheless he's giving up and starting to connect with others. Because we have to understand, we were as one kli, Malchut of Ein Sof. Ten sefirot time ten sefirot. Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. And also, ten of each. And they broke. The connection among them broke in all kind of cross cuts and different manners, interlinks. Where the breakage occurred, only there we can make a correction. There's nothing but that. Meaning, we cannot just approach a different place and say, well, I want to do something here. Well, it's nonsense. Rather, you have to locate the place of corruption, of the breaking, and to there bring the light that reforms, called the light of the Torah, and correct that place. And the breakage occurred, there's a crack there, and you have to satiate it, to fulfill it. That's all. And not to invent all kind of corruptions or other things that are appear to you according to your intellect as if you have to do something there. Therefore, we, first and foremost, have to approach in the shortest manner possible to the connection among us. This is the most unpleasant thing. Nevertheless, we should understand that there is the breakage. Therefore, we have to straight away, immediately demand the light to show us where is the connection or lack of connection, whereby I'm not interested in seeing anything but that, as unpleasant as it is, as much as I want everything else but that. Therefore, I need a society which will obligate me for me to want to see things that on the side of my own nature, I don't want to see that. For them to bring me the importance of the correction, and specifically that correction and not other things. Only the society can do that for me. I will never want it on my own accord, meaning to correct my attitude to others. I will always see myself right, being right. Recently, we have started working on computer software that I hope we will succeed in putting it together, meaning through that software, for us to be interlinked, for us to be able to practice through it. It would be the simulator of the corrupted Kli and the corrected Kli in all kind of gradual levels, and then each and every one will be able to see where is that, in the corruptions and in the corrections, in respect to others, in respect to the Creator, by working with this software, and then it will aid us and prompt us, will aim us to be in extra connection among us, in an extra knowing what's everyone's worth. Because we are studying so much, we are disseminating so much, but we are lacking truly the locating the place of the breaking and its correction. And it is really a pity that we're investing so much effort. And I see people who are for years, and they almost in the same place. They have not advanced. Rather, if a person signs down for himself, he decides that from today onward, he is measuring his connection, his success only through the connection with others. Well, we have to scrutinize what is the connection, what type of connection. But if that's the only thing he is lacking, and nothing but that, he has already made a serious decision, and from now on in his life he would advance in its, I would hasten it, and not in due time. All right, so let's ask questions. Please.
Mark.
Hi, Ron. When I'm here with this group of people, with one intention, I feel a specific energy. Also, if I go to a football stadium to watch a soccer game with a bunch, thousands of people, also I feel the specific energy. So it seems to me the energy is not a function of my intention, it's a function of uniting. Am I wrong?
קבוצה נגיד כמו פה וגם כשאני באיזשהו אצטדיון של ספורט אז נראה לי שהאיחוד זה לא הפונקציה של האנרגיה שאני מרגיש אלא הפונקציה של האיחוד בינינו, לא? האם זה נכון? סליחה, של הכוונה שלי האיחוד זה פונקציה של הכוונה אז הוא שואל אם זה נכון
איחוד בינינו
The unity among us is Creator have created the desire to receive. This desire to receive includes within it degrees, still vegetative, animated, and speaking. It includes within it lines, right, left, middle. It includes within it connections through the parsa in the second restriction. includes within it also qualities of mercy and wisdom, whereby all the crowns are interconnected, all the wisdoms are interconnected, bina interconnected, in all kind of systems, various systems, as in our body, the nerve system, so it's throughout the whole body, the lymphatic system throughout the whole body, blood system is also throughout the whole body, and more and more and more systems. And they're in every state, in every degree, and in every cell, and if the force of life disappears, all those systems collapse. That resembles us. Among us, there are many forms of the desire to receive, many parts. However, what fulfills us, between us, what links us, the force of life, is the upper light, the Creator. Which is hidden, the light, concealed among us. We felt as broken, as unconnected to one another, everyone separate. This is what is called a broken kli. What is the difference between a broken and a whole? The Creator does not connect between us, does not fulfill the gaps between us through which we are connecting with one another. It is as if there is a soup, and within the soup there's all those croutons, and so the soup in itself is the Creator which links between us all. And in Him we exist. We reside. Therefore, when He departs, at the time of the breakage, the upper light departed, remained the kelim, the vessels, as Bala Sulam say, that we are as in a sack of nuts. Nuts in a sack. We are like among us. Do not connect. Yeah. And if we want to connect, we have to reinvite Him, the force of love and bestowal, to connect among us, and again we will be in one system, in one harmony, and the upper life. However, it will come that the condition that we would desire it. As we learn, praying the prayer of many, where all of us together want to be connected among us. We all together want to be connected in connections of love. We want a force of love and bestowal come away and governs us. Then it will happen. Please.
From the internet. Question from the internet.
Question from the internet.
We have Ravian from Sydney in Australia asking, what is that connection? How do we know when our intention toward that connection is correct?
Ravian from Australia asks,
the translator, just repeat the question. We don't know. Moreover, we are never asking correctly. If I'm corrupted, how can I ask correctly? I will always ask falsely. However, the upper system, what is called the system of the worlds, is built in such way that it understands my lie and translates it correctly. It makes a re-correction of my call, that even though I cry like a baby in a not quite earnest manner, it is accepted and being taken care of. Therefore, the main thing, if we, along with everyone, with all the friends, come to a general common request, and then it would be accepted. It is precise as in our life, between the baby and the adults.
Hello, I'm Emma. This is my first Congress. My mother brought me here, and I just have a question about something I did not understand from the reading. It may be a small point, but on page 90 in section 65, where it says that those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, what does feared mean? What does it mean by those who feared the Lord?
It is a very superior degree when they reached delighted in mercy. It is called repentance from fear. Or, the word fear doesn't quite give it, it's more awe. I have fear, I have a concern. Would I be able to come to bestow upon the Creator? I am in kind of a concern regarding that. Will I be truly able to? This is called repentance from fear or concern, a true worries. More?
Any questions? Can...
No more questions?
Hello, Rob. My name is Jimmy, and I'm part of the virtual group from St. Louis, and I live in New York, so I'm adopted by Yosef and B'nai Baruch in New York. My question to you is this. I want to know how to pray, and you were saying that we should pray for our friends and that we should put our desires aside, and when we pray, we should pray for our friends' desires.
Shmi Jimmy, ani מסנט לואיס, ועכשיו אני בניו יורק. אני רוצה לדעת על תפילה. אמרת שצריך להתפלל עבור החברים, שצריך לשים את עצמנו בצד ולהתפלל עבור החברים. אני רוצה לדעת איך להתפלל עבור החברים.
זה לא דבר מלאכותי.
This is not an artificial thing. It's not like now I'm determining according to the clock from 6 till 7 p.m. to pray. Have you read the book, the Baron Munchausen? It's like an adventure book for kids. So there was the hero, the main character. In his diary it was written, on Monday at 9 a.m. I'm doing a heroic act. You see, just like that, he in advance used to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what he's saying. I am now about to pray. What is it to pray? To pray means to care for the correction. And if now I don't care for the correction. So what does it mean to pray? The truth is that a prayer is a consequence of very immense work with the friends, with the books, with oneself, to come to concern in the heart to desire the correction of the breakage. Only the correction of the breakage is considered as a prayer. Otherwise, what are you asking for? Something else? Something else is not even taken into account. You see, people are crying for thousands of years. Anything good came out of it? No. Does anyone answer those prayers? No. Everyone prays, everyone screams, everyone doing big noise. So, it is written, he sits in the heaven laughs. Because they don't ask for the only thing they have to ask. About which the whole upper system is built in order to answer that. That's the only thing. That's all. I have one thing for you. The light that reforms you, your hatred towards others, it transforms it into love towards others. Are you asking for it or not? If you're asking, come and take it. If you don't ask for it, don't even come. I have nothing for you. That's all. Therefore, all our work to wish what the Creator is willing to give us. The light that reforms, that corrects the hatred to love. This is called the prayer. And everything else just screams. You see, it's like kidding about life. Everyone's praying, screaming. Well, that's a game. Nothing more than that. In it, there is a, how shall I say, this kind of a psychological practice. And it's become easier for a person, feel better. But it is kind of a
exercise.
How shall I put it? A psychological act with oneself. Nothing more than that.
So when I leave this Congress...
So when I leave this Congress...
And I say, okay, I feel the need to pray. I have a will to receive, and I know that. How do I say that prayer like you're asking me to do?
Yes, so once again, when I go back home after this Congress, and you say, I should pray, how do I bring myself to this state that I have to pray, like you said? You make the effort like all the sayings about the society, from the Book of Zohar, from all of Kabbalist texts, to see that all that we must do is perform connection with the society, with our friends. Only within this, within our connection will reveal the Creator. This connection where He revealed the spiritual life. So thus, prayer is called the time in which I'm checking myself, the time when I'm learning these things, my desire to be in this, to take part in this. That is called prayer. Bala Sulam writes about this. The sensation of man in the time of study to connect to the Creator, yes, by man's connection with others, this is the truest and the most helpful prayer. It doesn't matter if you're sitting alone in some small city at the end of the world, or you're in some big group physically. It all depends just how much you wish to be tied to your environment.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, such meetings like this Congress and our friends around the world, this is the most helpful thing possible for our advancement. If not the Congress, you would sit at home, watch lessons. A year or two goes by, instead of a few days, like you are here, in order to advance the same quantity. Even more so. Because here you're under the influence of a massive environment, the influence of the light which is illuminating to you now. Don't think about this that you're going back home. Think about this now that you're adhered to the here and now with everyone. And not even a moment afterwards. Right now, meaning you must search for this point of connection to be impressed of it in the strongest way possible, and so that it will remain with you and grow and grow.
Hi, Rav. My name is Tom. I'm from New Jersey. And this is my fourth convention. And I've always noticed that at a convention there's so much singing and dancing. I was wondering if you could explain the importance behind this. Thank you.
Shmi Tom, I'm in New Jersey. It's the Congress of Revishili. ושמתי לב שיש תמיד שירה וריקודים בקונגרסים. רציתי לדעת אם אתה יכול להסביר על החשיבות של זה.
אתה יכול לפנות
לכל תרבות. You can turn to just about every culture, every nation.
ואתה תראה שם שירה וריקודים.
And you'll see they're singing and dancing.
אם היית אומר שמקובלים.
If you would say Kabbalists are doing some weird things, I would understand maybe there is something a little crazy here, you know. But what do? Kabbalists eat, sing, dance, they drink together. What's weird here? People who are trying to connect together, well, everybody does this, right? The only thing that's different is that we try to join the intention to all this. It's more comfortable to connect together in singing, in mutual study, in a meal, in dance. It's all means just to find connection between us. Not more than that. It's just a means. Okay? It's hard for you in all this?
No.
Oh, no? So? The truth is, you will yet reach a state in which you won't be able to touch the others. You won't wish to sing with them, you won't wish to dance with them, you won't be able to stand them. And above this, the force of correction can come, and this will operate greatly. Yes.
Okay, you just said that there's going to be a point where we're going to not want to dance or sing with anyone. And my question is, during that moment, is there a practical manner in which we can demand the light to fix that so we can unite? And is that demand egoistic?
טוב, כרגע אמרת על הרגע שלא נוכל לגעת אחד בשני. רציתי לדעת, ברגע הזה, האם יש איזושהי דרישה שאנחנו יכולים לדרוש שהאור יתקן אותנו, והאם הדרישה הזאת היא אגואיסטית?
האם אתם יכולים לדרוש שהאור יתקן אתכם?
Can you demand the light to correct you or not?
על בטוח שכן.
You surely can. Is this demand egoistic? Surely so. Will you receive a response to this? Surely so. I told you, the upper one understands you. You won't be able to fool the Creator. He's arranged you. He's fooled you. He's created you with all your elements and your behavior, characteristics, and has arranged you this way.
He doesn't need your response. He knows what's going to be. You need it. You think you're working for him? He's not lacking anything. He knows you inside out. Don't worry about that. You're all a result of his work. Everything that we're doing in this path is called the work of the Creator, not your work. All we need is one thing: by the means of the environment, to cup the state where we will wish for him to perform what he has already predetermined, that which he desires to happen. We also desire that to happen. If we reach this, then I already reached the revelation that it's already present. Nothing is new here. Nothing new happens. It's just the moment that I desire for it to be revealed, for bestowal to be revealed, yes, for love. It's opened up at the very same extent that I desire it, because it already exists in the world. It's just concealed from me. And if you shall make your desire like his, it will be revealed accordingly.
Buenas tardes, Rab. Mi nombre es Luz. Soy de Colombia. Vivo en Nueva York. Mi pregunta es, dentro del estudio de las clases que tomamos con del Zohar con usted, usted nos dice que no tratemos de imaginar figuras, formas dentro de lo que estamos leyendo, porque son simplemente estados que están dentro de mí.
Hi, my name is Luz, and I study in New York, and I'm from Colombia. You had said in your previous lessons that while studying Zohar, we should try not to make forms of the things that you are saying, because they are just things that are inside of us.
אמרת קודם לגבי הלימוד של הזוהר שאנחנו צריכים לא לעשות צורות, כאילו לא לעשות הגשמה של זה, כי זה הכל דברים שבתוכנו.
לא הבנתי.
I didn't understand. Can you repeat the question?
אמרת קודם שבלימוד של הזוהר אנחנו לא צריכים להגשים את זה כצורות גשמיות, אלא הכל זה דברים בתוכנו.
כן.
Mi pregunta es, ¿qué hago con las preguntas que la mente me empieza a jugar? ¿Las mantengo internamente para que mi deseo fluya? ¿O si le busco una respuesta, de todas maneras, no me va a servir para entender lo que está sucediendo dentro de mí?
So what do I do with the questions that come into my head while I'm studying? Do I just keep them inside of me, or do I try to find a solution for them? And is it erroneous because it's my own mind anyways?
אז מה לעשות עם השאלות שאלות בתוכי תוך כדי הלימוד? האם אני פשוט מחזיקה אותם בתוכי, או שאני מנסה למצוא להם תשובות, או או שזה בכלל טעות, כי זה הכל דברים כאילו מהראש שלי?
זאת שאלה.
It's a good question. There's definitely room for this question. On one hand, what we study is about the upper world, which we don't know a thing about. And really, I don't care what's written in the book. I read it only in order for the light to influence me. That's on one hand. On the other hand, I still need to know about it to some extent, to have a connection with the material, to increase, to amplify my desire for that same light, for that same goodness. On one hand, we do learn about the system a bit, yes, the Sefirot, the worlds, the Partsufim,
a little bit, just to get a general picture. And we learn a lot about its connection to us in order to bring us to the right intention of the study. And that's it. Because truly, a person who doesn't understand a thing, he doesn't know a thing, if he is incorporated in the society, if he integrates in it, he advances. Just like a baby in our world. Despite that he doesn't do a thing, but before he nullifies himself before the adults, he is privileged with greatest care from everything in our world. And thus it doesn't matter what a person knows about his advancement. It doesn't matter what he knows. The only thing that matters is how he locates the pace of the breaking and desires to correct it. Last question.
Racheli,
I've asked about someone if she wanted to bring in someone who was a blind person who wanted to ask and didn't manage beforehand to ask. If that person wants to ask, I'll be glad to hear his question. On both sides. So let's give them on both sides.
If I listen and think to you, that they get answered. So both were answered.
I've said I'm very glad. Thank you. Please, the gentleman here.
Wrote that in the future people could keep their religions as their traditions. But it is obvious that no are any modern religion like Islam or Christianity or Judaism would agree with this role. They all want to deal with spirituality, our souls, eternity.
בעל הסולם כתב שבעתיד הדתות יהיו מסורות. אבל הדתות שיש היום של נצרות, אסלאם, יהדות, לא כל כך יסכימו לתפקיד הזה של להיות מסורת.
Upper world and so on. So I could it be a very big problem with Kabbalah?
אז אומר שהם רוצות להתעסק ברוחניות ובכל הדברים האלה בעולם עליון, אז האם זה לא יגרום בעצם לבעיות לחוכמת הקבלה?
So the question was, would not cause harm to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Of course it wouldn't cause any troubles if we won't do our work, then there won't be any trouble. It's not like there's a struggle here. There's a struggle not between the religion and the wisdom of Kabbalah. There is a struggle within the person to scrutinize the truth and come to that truth, whereby our evolution obligates us to do so. It is not a matter of Kabbalah or Judaism or Christianity or Islam. Rather, we are evolving as humans, no matter who we are. And our development obligates us to scrutinize those things. What is spirituality and what is outside of spirituality? Therefore, we sooner or later will have, all of us will have to, all human beings, to understand
what is the place of the knowledge of the revelation of the Creator? What is the place of religion, whereby these religions exist only at the time of exile? 2,000 years. That's it. Because they can exist when you cannot attain the Creator. However, once we can attain the Creator, what do I need religion for? I attain Him, I can see Him, I can feel Him. Who can tell me the fact it is written in the book of Zohar, and they will not speak about the Creator to one another, meaning no one would tell me about it. Rather, everyone would know me from the smallest to the eldest. It is written in the prophets. Everyone would know. If everyone knows, where is the room here for religion? There's no room for religion. Rather, the knowledge of the Creator, the revelation of the Creator, will come instead of believing in something that every religion or every faith tell you about. Now, whether there be all kind of collisions among them, that depends on the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. If we would manage to disseminate it quick enough and broadly enough, people will understand from us and from dissemination that there's nothing here but the attainment of the Creator itself, to attain it, to feel it, to live it, to feel both worlds together, the whole of reality, not like I'm feeling now a small part of the whole of reality and everything else is concealed. Rather, to feel everything. And then I need no one. I myself become as the Creator. What religion, and who can sell me stories about it? Whereby, I'm telling you out of my experience, I relate to all religions as a culture, as tradition. And then they have room. Yes. Where everyone can continue, observe all kind of traditions, their own traditions. Nothing more than that. Once the Creator revealed, there's no room for them beside that. Let's hope that everything would evolve in a nice, smooth manner, and we will come to. By that, we will conclude. Today we have another lesson. Maybe we'll cancel it. What's the lesson? Marcus, who was with us today?
We've been joined from countless friends from all around the world, from Poland, Argentina, Texas. There's a mini congress in Lithuania, in St. Petersburg, Mexico, another mini congress there. Over 150 friends there. In Venezuela, in Panama, Belgium, Germany, where there's a mini congress, France, Japan, Georgia, Spain, Ukraine, Chicago, New York, Italy, Istanbul in Turkey, El Salvador, New Orleans, Florida, Brazil, in Saudi Arabia, Illinois, St. Louis, Gibraltar, the Netherlands, in Sydney, the UK, Toronto, Peru, Samara, Belgium, Toowoomba in Australia, Melbourne in Australia, BC in Canada, Rovno in the Ukraine, Essen in Germany, and I'm sure many others who didn't write to us as well. L'chaim.